I motioned Jamie, Sheriff Peavy, and the new one, Wegg, to the far side of the street. We stood beneath the overhang that shielded the sheriff's office. Strother and Pickens, the not-so-good deputies, were crowded into the doorway, fair goggling. "Go inside, you two," I told him.
"We don't take orders from you,"
Pickens said, just as haughty as Mary Dame, now that the boss was back.
"Go inside and shut the door," Peavy said. "Have you thud brains not kenned even yet who's in charge of this raree?"
They drew back, Pickens glaring at me and Strother glaring at Jamie. The door slammed hard enough to rattle the glass. For a moment, the four of us stood there, watching the great clouds of alkali dust blow up the high street, some of them so thick they made the salt wagons disappear. But there was little time for contemplation. It would be night all too soon, and then one of the salties now drinking in the busted luck might be a man no longer.
"I think we have a problem," I said. I was speaking to all of them, but it was Jamie I was looking at. It seems to me that a skin-turner who knows what he is would hardly admit to being able to ride.
"Thought of that," Jamie said, and tilted his head to Constable Wegg.
"We got all of them who can sit a horse," Wegg said. "Depend on it, Si. Ain't I seen them myself?"
"I doubt if you've seen all of them," I said. "I think he has," Jamie said. "Listen, Roland.
There's one rich fella up in Little Debaria named Sam Shunt," Wegg said. "The miners call him Shunt the Cunt, which ain't surprising since he's got most of them where the hair grows short. He don't own the combine. It's the big bugs in Gilead who've got that. But he owns most of the rest. The bars, the whores, the skidums."
I looked at Sheriff Peavy.
"Shacks in Little Debaria where some of the miners sleep," he said. "Skidums ain't much, but they ain't underground."
I looked back at Wegg, who had hold of his duster's lapels and was looking pleased with himself.
"Sammy Shunt owns the company store, which means he owns the miners."
He grinned. When I didn't grin back, he took his hands from his lapels and flipped them skyward.
"It's the way of the world, young Si. I didn't make it, neither did you. Now, Sammy's a great one for fun and games, always assuming he can turn a few pennies on them, that is. 4 times a year, he sets up races for the miners. Some are foot races, and some are obstacle course races, where they have to jump over wooden barricades or leap gullies filled up with mud. It's pretty comical when they fall in. The whores always come to watch, and that makes them laugh like loons."
"Hurry it up," Peavy growled. "Those fellas won't take long to get through 2 drinks.
"He has hoss races, too," said Wegg, "although he won't provide nothing but old nags in case one of them ponies breaks a leg and has to be shot."
"If a miner breaks a leg, is he shot?" I asked. Wegg laughed and slapped his thigh as if I'd gotten off a good one. Cuthbert could have told him I don't joke, but of course Cuthbert wasn't there, and Jamie rarely says anything if he doesn't have to.
"Trig, young gunslinger, very trig ye are. Nay, they're mended right enough, if they can be mended. There's a couple of whores that make a little extra coin working as ammies after Sammy Shunt's little competitions. They don't mind. It's servicing them either way, ain't it? There's an entry fee, of course. Taken out of wages, that pays Sammy's expenses. As for the miners, the winner of whatever particular competition happens to be, dash, obstacle course, hoss race, gets a year's worth of debt for giving it the company store. Sammy keeps the interest so high on the others, he never loses by it. You see how it works? Quite snick, wouldn't you say?"
"Snick is the devil," I said.
"Yar! So, when it comes to racing those nags around the little track he had made, any miner who can ride does ride. It's powerful comical to watch 'em smashing their nutsacks up and down. Set my watch and warrant on that. And I'm always there to keep order. I've seen every race for the last 7 years and every digger boy who's ever run in 'em. For riders, those boys over there are it." There was one more, but in the race Sammy put on this new earth, that particular salt mole fell off his mount and got his gut squashed. Lived a day or two, then goozled. So I don't think he's your skin man. Do you?"
At this, Wegg laughed heartily. Peavy looked at him with resignation, Jamie with a mixture of contempt and wonder.
Did I believe this man when he said they'd rounded up every salty who could sit a horse? I would, I decided, if he could answer one question in the affirmative. Do you bet on these horse races yourself, Wegg?
Made a goodish heap last year, he said proudly. Course Shunt only pays in scrip. He's tight. But it keeps me in whores and whiskey. I like the whores young and the whiskey old.
Peavy looked at me over Wegg's shoulder and shrugged his shoulders as if to say,
he's what they have up there, so don't blame me for it.
Nor did I. Wegg, go on in the office and wait for us. Jamie and Sheriff Peavy, come with me. I explained as we crossed the street, and it didn't take long. You tell them what we want, I said to Peavy as we stood outside the Batwings. I kept it low because we were still being watched by the whole town, although the ones clustered outside the saloon had drawn away from us, as if we might have something that was catching. They know you.
Not as well as they know Wegg, he said.
Why do you think I wanted him to stay across the street? He grunted a laugh at that and pushed his way through the Batwings. Jamie and I followed. The regular patrons had drawn back to the gaming tables, giving the bar over to the salties. Snip and Canfield flanked them. Kellen Fry stood with his back leaning against the barnboard wall and his arms folded over his sheepskin vest. There was a second floor, given over to bump cribs, I assumed, and the balcony up there was loaded with less than charming ladies looking down at the miners.
You men, Peavy said, turn around and face me.
They did as he said, and promptly. What was he to them but just another foreman? A few held on to the remains of their short whiskies, but most had already finished. They looked livelier now, their cheeks flushed with alcohol rather than the scouring wind that had chased them down from the foothills.
Now here's what, Peavy said. You're going to sit up on the bar, every mother's son of you, and take off your boots so we can see your feet.
A muttering of discontent greeted this.
If you want to know who spent time in Beely Stockade, why not just ask? A graybeard called. I was there and I ain't ashamed. I stole a loaf from my old woman and our two babbies. Not that it did the babbies any good. They both died.
What if we won't? A younger one asked. Them gunnies shoot us? Not sure I'd mind. At least I wouldn't have to go down in the plug no more. A rumble of agreement met this. Someone said something that sounded like green light. Peavy took hold of my arm and pulled me forward.
It was this gunny got you out of a day's work, then bought you drinks. And unless you're the man we're looking for, what the hell are you afraid of?
The one that answered this couldn't have been more than my age. Sigh, Sheriff, we're always afraid. This was truth a little balder than they were used to, and complete silence dropped over the busted luck. Outside, the wind moaned. The grit hitting the thin board walls sounded like hail.
Boys, listen to me, Peavy said, now speaking in a lower and more respectful tone of voice. These gunslingers could draw and make you do what has to be done, but I don't want that, and you shouldn't need it. Counting what happened at the Jefferson spread, there's over 36 dead in DeBaria. 3 at the Jefferson was women.
He paused.
Nah, I tell a lie. One was a woman, the other two were mere girls. I know you've got hard lives and nothing to gain by doing a good turn, but I'm asking you anyway, and why not? There's only one of you with something to hide.
Well, what the fuck, said the graybeard.
He reached behind him to the bar and boosted himself up so he was sitting on it. He must have been the old fella of the crew, for all the others followed suit. I watched for anyone showing reluctance, but to my eye there was none. Once it was started, they took it as a kind of joke. Soon there were 21 overalled salties sitting on the bar, and boots rained down on the sawdusty floor in a series of thuds. Aye, gods, I can smell the reek of their feet to this day.
Ugh, that's enough for me, one of the whores said.
And when I looked up, I saw our audience vacating the balcony in a storm of feathers and a swirl of petty slips. The bartender joined the others by the gaming tables, holding his nose pinched shut. I'll bet they didn't sell many steak dinners in Racy's Cafe at supper time. That smell was an appetite killer, if ever there was one.
"Yank up on your cuffs," Peavy said. "Let me grip your ankles."
Now that the thing was begun, they complied without argument. I stepped forward. "If I point to you," I said, "get down off the bar and go stand against the wall. You can take your boots, but don't bother putting them on. You'll only be walking across the street, and you can do that barefooty." I walked down the line of extended feet, most pitifully skinny, and all but those belonging to the youngest miners clogged with bulging purple veins. "You, you, and you." In all, there were 10 of them with blue rings around their ankles that meant time in the Beely stockade. Jamie drifted over to them. He didn't draw, but he hooked his thumbs in his crossed gun belts with his palms near enough to the butts of his six-shooters to make the point. "Barkeep," I said, "pour these men who are left another short shot." The miners without stockade tattoos cheered at this and began putting on their boots again. "What about us?" the graybeard asked. The tattooed ring above his ankle was faded to a blue ghost. His bare feet were as gnarled as old tree stumps. How he could walk on them, let alone work on them, was more than I could understand. 9 of you will get long shots," I said, and that wiped the gloom from their faces. "The 10th will get something else." "A yank of rope," Canfield of the Jefferson said in a low voice. "And after what I seen out to Ranch, I hope he dances at the end of it a long time."